Hi guys, and welcome back to Topic Tuesday, episode 25. If you've been able to watch any of the previous episodes, then thank you so much for watching and your support. Today I am joined by the magician, Victoria. Yeah, I will call you a magician.
Bluffer.
Who you might know as VDH Sleep on Instagram. We will, of course, as always, put all of her socials down below so you can find her and follow her. And today we're going to be talking about sleep training. So for all my moms out there that are watching this and maybe struggling and trying to fight through the night, we really hope that this can give back to you and provide you with information and knowledge that you need to potentially help your little one, or if you're not interested in sleep training, just knowing a little bit more. So first of all, welcome.
Thank you
for coming. Thanks. If you just want to introduce yourself briefly, let us know who you are, a bit about your experience and qualifications with your whole sleep training journey.
Yes.
Go for it.
Hi. I'm Victoria. I'm an infant sleep consultant. I work with babies and children up to the age of 3. So from like newborn to 3-year-olds, because everybody struggles at different ages. So some people come to me when they're pregnant, actually, just to like learn about what to expect when they've got a newborn and how to kind of start shaping their sleep from birth, to be honest.
That's very prepared, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually get quite a lot of pregnant.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I quite like it as well, because I can kind of
restart advise the journey
them.
With
yeah,
them.
I really like that. And then they'll often come back to me if they kind of hit a bump in the road, or
which
you always do. There's always different challenges with sleep, and I think that the majority of my clients always find that. Like, we can, I don't know, say I work with somebody when their baby's 4 months old, then they want to go down like a nap drop at 7 months, and they'll come back to me and I can just, sometimes they'll just book in for like a 15 minute call or something, just to like tweak things as they go, which is quite nice. And then I can kind of build a relationship with a lot of clients like that.
Yeah.
I feel like I've made quite a lot of friends as clients as well, which is quite nice. And I do generally just, I like talking to people. So that's why I love my job, because I actually just like to talk to people all day long. Yeah.
What's good.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
And I like to help people. And I think that's a really nice part of my job.
Yeah.
They go from being very sleep deprived to then sleeping through. Although someone did tell me recently, actually, that when the baby started sleeping through 11 hours, they actually felt worse. And I was like, hilarious. Oh, no, that's not what I wanted.
Because before, you're basically running off like adrenaline, aren't you?
Yeah.
And probably some other hormone that makes us feel just fight mode.
Yeah, and then I think you get the rest and your body has to then adapt really to actually the rest that you can now get.
It's mad. And I think I was talking to Victoria just before we start press record, and I was saying, I think like sleep training with when you have a little one is such like an emotive subject, because when you're not getting sleep and you're really struggling, like, well, in my personal experience, you literally feel like sometimes like the world's just ending a little bit because you're struggling to make it through the day.
Yeah.
And when you feel like you can find someone who can help you with that, it's literally like the best thing in the world. Just touching on my experience briefly with Victoria, I contacted Victoria. Well, actually, I just said to her, I can't remember when I spoke to you.
I think Ziggy was 3-4 months. I don't think he was that old.
Well, I'll go, because I can
probably look back through my emails and find out.
But yeah, but I was really, really struggling. And I remember I spoke to you. Within like 40 minutes, he was asleep. I think you gave me like 3 pointers. And it gave me so much like knowledge and like understanding of like how it works and what you need. Because when you're a first time mom, you don't really know. Like,
no, I think that's why the pregnancy consultations actually are helpful for some
people. So I call Victoria a magician, and I see lots of people online calling you a magician. It's amazing. Someone was asking, like, qualification wise, like, what does that look like? Like, how, maybe if someone was interested in becoming this profession, like, what does that look like career path wise, journey?
So I actually did my training in November 2019. Mm-hmm. I did a level 4 OCN qualification in infant sleep training. And there are a lot of providers that provide this service. Mine was, it was like a whole day in London. Like, it was quite a long day, actually. I think it was like 8 till 6 or something all day. And I had like a 10-week module to complete online. And I did all that in 2019. And then it was lockdown.
Okay.
In 2020. And I was pregnant with my second child. And gave birth to her in the April. I know when her birthday is. April 2020, so the first lockdown. And it got to like October and I was like, we've got no money because no one had any money. It was locked down. My husband's a cricket coach, so there was no cricket. There was no one. He actually likes like driving his living room at one point.
Yeah, a lot of people did that.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm just going to make an Instagram with my sleep qualification. Because I was a nanny beforehand. Sorry, I should have said that. I was a nanny beforehand and I nannied for an autistic child.
Wow.
And he didn't sleep.
Okay.
And then I kind of got quite interested in infant sleep. He was a bit older, but it made me become aware as to how sleep really impacts a family when you're not getting any. Because I already had a child, but she wasn't a terrible sleeper. But then when I nannied for this family and they weren't getting any sleep,
yeah.
I was like, oh, I could really do something here. And then that's why I did the course.
Okay.
Sorry, I should have said that first.
That's right.
And then, yeah, so then it was like the October, I think, of 2020. So I had, I had two kids then. And I was like, I'm just going to send Instagram out and see what happens. And then I can go back to nannying after my maternity leave.
Yeah.
And this can just be a side hustle.
Yeah.
And I never had to go back to nanny. Wow, it just took amazing. Off, which was great. And
it shows how in demand people like you are, though, because it's so needed when you're struggling.
Yeah. And I think that in lockdown, I think people were really struggling with routine and stuff. I know you couldn't really do anything because you couldn't really go out the house. But I think being in those four walls and such I think people really struggled. And when you're not able to go out and get a break, I think that then the sleep deprivation actually probably made things worse for people.
Yeah.
It was the best time to get your kid into a routine, but it was also very hard if you were really struggling with that because you couldn't have a break. Mm-hmm. There was no one really there to look after your kid. And
intense, probably, because you just it not was really any intense. Respite from anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I worked with my first Nathan and Cara, who won Love Island.
Oh, yeah.
I worked with them in the first lockdown because their daughter, Delilah, is the same age as my youngest, Ophelia.
Yeah.
So I worked with them when, I think Delilah was about 7 months.
Okay.
And then my patients really took off because they posted about me.
Oh,
and it was great.
That.
Yeah.
So did they have a good experience with Delilah?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. She wasn't sleeping at all. And then I helped them. They posted about me. And I think I got like 7,000 followers overnight. It was amazing.
It's amazing. Because again, as a like, I feel like I'll harp on about it all episode, but it's like, so when you need it, you're so intrigued. Yeah. It's like you're desperate to like get the information and get the help.
Yeah.
It's such a huge thing in people's lives. So that's amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Very thankful to them because I feel like they really propelled my account and then got my name out there, which was great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And you haven't had to go back to nannying ever since.
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this just before. I think sleep training can be like quite controversial. Like,
yeah. And I would never make someone sleep train their kids. I'm not going to say like, I don't know, say you're coasting with your baby and you're really happy with doing that. I'm not going to come over to you and say, right, you need to sleep train your kid, get them in a cot.
Yeah.
Because everything works differently for different people.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to sleep train your kid, don't do it. I'm not going to push that on anyone.
Of course. Part of me though, which sits on like one side of the fence.
Yeah.
See great benefit in it because I think my child is a routine baby. He is.
Yeah, and most babies love routine.
Yeah, he thrives off routine. I thrive off his routine. Mm-hmm. We're all very happy with it. We all sleep. The day operates. I'm a routine mom.
Yeah.
I'm really passionate about it. I believe that bedtime is a discipline and should be taken seriously, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm like all for it.
Yeah, yeah, which is great.
I see the benefits of it, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And you were saying that you do get some messages online from people who like really
who don't like
disengage
it.
With your content and don't like what you say.
Yeah.
But I think it's all dependent on what stance you want to take.
Yeah, and I don't care. If you're more of a very routine mom, which is what you just said.
I am, yeah.
But if you're more of a go with the flow and you don't really care when your baby wakes up, you don't care what time they nap, you don't care what time they eat, that's fine. If that's working for your family, oh my goodness, continue to do it. There are still things you can do to improve sleep with a not sleep training.
Okay.
So if you are very go with the flow and you just want to rein things in like a tiny bit, then you can do that without sleep training and you can change your baby's sleep environment. So things like making the room dark or make sure they're going down for a nap at certain wake windows. You can do that, but you can still do that whilst you're assisting them to sleep. Yeah. So say someone doesn't want to stop rocking their baby to sleep, then they can still do those things, but things might improve if they just do things kind of at the right times or in the right environment. And all of those things can improve sleep without any sleep training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just touched on something that I'm going to go into now. We're going to talk about kind of like the cry it out whole situation.
Fine.
And wake windows.
Yeah.
So let's start with the whole crying out situation, because again, a lot of people don't agree with it.
Which is fine.
Yeah, which is fine. I don't necessarily feel like letting your baby cry for ages is the best thing. And I didn't do that either. But I think maybe there's a bit of information missing around it as well. Because as you were saying earlier, like, you're not letting them cry till like they're traumatized.
No.
So if you just go into it for a little bit to explain to people on the other side of the camera, like, what that actually means and what it's doing for the child and helping both mom or dad and baby understand. So I'll put the floor over to you in that sense.
So I would say 85% of my clients come to, maybe 90%, 90% I would say, come to because their babies are struggling to link their sleep cycles and struggling to put themselves to sleep. And that's where the sleep training comes in. So basically, if your baby's falling asleep being assisted, they're then going to come out of their sleep cycle and expect to be assisted back into the sleep cycle. So I liken it to an adult where if you fell asleep with your duvet and your pillow and then someone took those things away from you, you're likely going to wake up and look for them because that's how you fell asleep initially. So if your baby's being bounced on a yoga ball to sleep, rocked to sleep, fed to sleep, they're then likely going to need assistance when they come back out of that sleep cycle because they're also not going down into their cots awake.
Yeah.
So then they're like, whoa, where am I? I need help to go back to sleep. And they wake up crying often because they don't want to be awake at that time. They want to be asleep, but they just don't know how to go back to that. So when we're changing that and we're then putting them down awake in a cot, they're confused about it, obviously.
Naturally.
Because they don't understand why you're changing things. If nothing changes.
Breaks my heart a little bit.
I know, sorry.
There's such like new and souls into the world.
They are new souls into the world. Yeah. And they don't know what's going on because what they've been used to for their whole life is now changing. Because it's now not convenient for you. You don't want to be up every 2 hours, which is completely understandable. So once we've taught a baby to put themselves to sleep independently in the cot, they're then going to come to the end of their sleep cycles and link that sleep cycle again because they're not going to expect assistance because they didn't have assistance that they had to begin with.
Okay.
And, sorry. So the cry out method is literally, I know a lot of American sleep trainers do this, and if it works for you, whatever. But the cry-out is basically you put your child in a cot and you close the door for 12 hours. I'm not saying they're going to cry for 12 hours.
Oh, God.
But I'm not going to tell anyone to do that.
Yeah.
We can do... I mainly work on 3 different methods. So you can either be in the room doing lots and lots of reassurance whilst they're in the cot. So they know you're... They probably still won't like it that much. But you're there with them, tapping their chairs, stroking their hair, whatever, singing to them and stuff. You're just reassuring them the whole time until they fall asleep. And then they gradually reduce that reassurance so that then they get used to just putting themselves to sleep in a very nice way.
Yeah.
Some babies actually are more annoyed with more reassurance in the cot. I feel like Ziggy might have been.
I remember you told him to leave the room.
Yeah, because I think we tried saying and I think he was... Because some babies...
Why are you not picking me up?
Yes, exactly. So some babies think that. Yeah. So if you think that your baby actually will be more annoyed with you there because you're there and not picking them up, as you say, then I would probably suggest kind of 5-minute check-ins.
Yeah.
Which is still not, you're not leaving them to cry for hours and hours on end.
Because I just couldn't do that.
No.
That would break my
heart. I wouldn't tell anyone to do that.
No.
And I think that's where the misconception comes.
Okay.
Your baby's going to cry because you're changing something. But they're also not going to cry for weeks and weeks at bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just learning a new skill and they're not traumatized. They know you're there. Even if you're out of the room, you're coming in every kind of 5 minutes. So they know you're there. They know they're safe.
Yes.
They're just learning something new. Yeah. They're learning how to fall asleep in a cot. And they're probably angry about it.
Yeah.
Because they're crying and they're tired. So they're crying and they want to go to sleep, but they don't know how to do that yet. So they're like, I want you to help me. and they don't understand why you're not doing mm-hmm. that for them anymore. And they don't understand that this will benefit them as well.
Because then, in the long run,
when they're getting solid restorative sleep,
it's incredible. It's life changing. It is life changing.
Yeah, because if you're having broken sleep for months and months, some people come to me when their babies are nearly two, and they have had like nearly 2 years of no sleep, and that is hard.
So debilitating, yeah.
That's
so
hard.
One of the, you said you work on three methods. One being staying in the room reassurance. Mm. Two being leaving the room.
Yes.
Coming in intervals. What's the third one?
Sorry, the third one is kind of in the middle of the road. So you wouldn't kind of touch the baby in the cot.
Okay.
But you could maybe stay in the room and just kind of reassure with your voice.
Like, yeah.
So it's kind of in the middle.
So you've got to touch. So
you can either start with kind of lots of reassurance, touching and singing and stuff, or you could just kind of reassure with your voice.
Yes.
If you think both of those are too much, then you can step out.
And you base this solely on that child's needs, right?
Yes.
Because everyone is so
everyone has different temperaments. So whatever, so different methods fit with different babies' personalities, different babies' temperaments. So that would also come into the consultation. So I'd talk through the methods to the client. And they would say, oh, I think my baby would fit with this method better.
And then you base it on that.
We base it with that. But then again, if that doesn't work, then we can also change it up.
Okay. And just touching, because you just touched on like this whole American sleep training thing. And obviously not putting everyone in the same box. Do they close the door for 12 hours? Is that what they base it on? As in you leave them to fight or they are literally...
I don't know. I should have said, I don't know if it's sleep trainers do this. I know doctors advise this in America.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. I'm surprised.
I think because in America, they have a very different maternity leave system.
You're right.
They want mums back in the workforce.
Well, the mums at 6 weeks old.
Yeah. So.
Again, breaks my heart.
Yeah. If you can have your. No. They get no. They're only legally meant to keep your job open for 6 weeks, I believe.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but my family live in New York, and I'm sure this is what my cousin told me. And, so they want women back into the workforce as soon as possible. So if you go to your doctor and they say, is your baby sleeping through? And you'll be like, oh, no, I'm so tired. Yeah. They will tell you to do that.
Oh, heartbreaking. Because I think, my whole TikTok algorithm is mom. Mom. Or momster. And I do have quite a lot about the whole sleep thing.
Mm.
And I don't know what your thoughts on this, but letting a baby cry for that amount of time, I think must be so damaging.
I mean, I'm sure they don't cry for 12 hours.
But
without any check-ins or anything, I don't think that's great.
It must be really hard. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I think sleep trainers aren't devils, guys.
No, oh my God. I'm not.
You would never.
Promise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about checking in and working the child.
And things are going to work better if your timings are right.
So
you're putting your baby down and they're like so overtired, so exhausted, they're going to cry more and it's not going to work.
Which leads us on to wake windows very nicely.
Okay.
I actually wasn't super knowledgeable on wake windows when I gave birth to Ziggy.
Nobody is. Nobody
I was kind of like, and then I kind of like started to figure it out. And obviously now with this pregnancy in this baby, I feel so much more prepared because I so get it.
Yeah.
But the importance of wake windows, in my opinion, I don't know what your opinion is, so real. Like, they are to a T, almost.
Yeah.
And, like, getting your baby in a sleep cycle with those wake windows is, like, recipe for success. And you're right, when they don't really hit the wake window, it can really affect the day.
Yeah,
or whatever. It can. Because... tell me if I'm wrong. When they are in the wake windows and sleep cycles, they've got the right hormone balance to get them in and out of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're not and they're overtired, they struggle so much.
Their cortisol level. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to us about that.
So basically, nobody wants an overtired baby.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot. And I think that people don't realize that, especially newborns, have such short wake windows. So if you're catching that kind of sweet spot and you're putting them down awake, they're more likely to go to sleep nicely. If you say you had a 8-week-old and you've kept them up for 3 hours, where actually maybe even a 6-month-old couldn't last for 3 hours of awake, you're going to have a cranky baby.
Yeah.
And then you will have to assist them to sleep, because actually if you do end up with an overtired baby, it happens. I would say fresh air or water just to calm them down and help them then fall asleep, because... It's really hard when you've got an overtired baby and trying to get them to sleep, and then you're stressed, the baby's stressed. So
take a breather
and just, I would say, go for a walk in the fresh air, and your baby will probably fall asleep then.
100%.
But yeah, getting the wake windows spot on,
and they're
is
so
really
like
helpful.
Readily available online, that information is everywhere.
Yeah, like, they may be just an average online, so you might have a lower sleep needs baby or a higher sleep needs baby. Okay. My youngest was very high sleep needs. I think that her max to stay awake for like an hour was probably until she was about 4 months, where a lot of 4 month olds are able to maybe do like an hour and 45 to two.
Okay.
But she just needed her sleep.
A lot of sleep. Yeah.
And you'll find that if you have a baby that's born early, they're going to be on those shorter wake windows for longer.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because
they shouldn't be in the world yet. Yeah. So you might find that they're on like newborn sleep cycles still. They're much older than if your friend had a baby and it was born at full term.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Just sort of a question, and I just really want to ask you it. When working with clients and in general, your thoughts, formula-fed babies and breastfed babies, do you feel they sleep different?
No.
Okay.
No.
So that's all a myth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that there's a lot of emphasis. I have two formula-fed children. Nothing against formula at all. I think there's a lot of emphasis on, from formula companies, they'll put like moons and stars on their boxes to make mums think, actually, I'm really sleep deprived. If I give them that formula, they're going to sleep through the night.
Okay.
They're not. Because actually, I would say 50% of my clients are breastfed, 50% are bottle fed. There's no difference.
Really?
They can still sleep through
the
night, even if they're breastfed babies.
Okay.
It just...
But what does it take? Because I'll be honest, I breastfed Ziggy and I really struggled with like... I felt like he constantly wanted my breast in the night.
Yeah.
What does it take?
It's more of a comfort.
Yeah.
It's easier to fall into like a feed to sleep
habit.
That's
what I was doing.
When you're breastfeeding.
And I remember you said to me, you were like, Lucy, you need to stop. Not in like a directive way, but you said, maybe let's move away from feeding him to sleep, feeding him, he's awake, and then you put him down to sleep. And I remember it scared me so much when you said that, because I was like, no, but obviously I was such a stressed mum. I was like, it's all I know. This is the only thing I know how to get him to sleep. And that's when like I started with like the whole association thing.
Yeah, so you were getting him to sleep.
Yes, I was.
We want him to put himself to sleep.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. But that's what I try and tell people, like, if we can get to a point where your baby's putting themselves to sleep, I think things are going to get better.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are cases where that doesn't help and there might be some other things going on. Like, things like tongue ties really affect the way a baby sleeps because they don't breathe properly. And
so interesting.
Yeah. So those things that you kind of would have to look
and they,
for.
And they do, because Ziggy had a tongue tie.
Yeah.
And they were really, like, passionate about me getting it done, as much as I was, because it was killing my nipples.
Yeah.
But it can really affect speech, sleep.
Yes.
A lot of things.
How old was he when you got it?
Oh, like, trimmed. two weeks old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fine. It was killing my breasts. I couldn't do it. It was so painful. But that's really interesting because I'll be honest, I am one of those people who thought that formula babies slept better.
No, not always. You might want to keep kind of one night feeding a bit longer for a breastfed baby, but apart from that.
So you can do it breastfeeding moms.
If you think
I'm the problem or the breastfeeding is the problem.
No.
Basically contact Victoria and she'll sort you out.
Because formula is slightly heavier. So they might go a little bit longer, but they can still sleep well if they're breastfed.
Okay.
I promise.
Okay. And just onto sleep association. So I remember this so well. I was at a play group with a mom and she had twins. She was struggling, you could tell.
Yeah.
You don't even need to talk about it. You can see it in another mom's eyes.
I talk to quite a lot of twin moms.
Yeah. And she was like, my whole day is based around the twin sleep. Like nothing comes before those boys sleep, because if something comes before it, my whole day is messed up and I'm then really unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me that they have to be at home, they have to be in the car, and they have to be in the dark.
Okay.
I could tell she was quite stressed and stuck on this.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to like sleep associations and having babies in the dark and maybe white noise, which I never use for Ziggy.
He was not
a white noise baby. But I know loads of people do use it. Talk to us a little bit about sleep associations and how powerful or not powerful they are.
So things like white noise, yes, they're great. A white noise machine alone isn't going to have your baby sleep through the night.
Okay.
But they can be very helpful for if you live in like a noisy building or if you've got dogs or something. So for nap times, white noise is great to kind of drown out the noise. I don't believe they always have to sleep in the dark. Like at home, I would do a dark room, but like if you're out and about, then just put them in the pram or the car at a similar time to the time you'd put them down at home.
Yeah.
And don't get too stressed about it. If you're at home for the naps, great. If you're not, don't worry.
Yeah.
Is what I'd say to that mum. I think that you can end up getting very stressed about being at home all the time.
Yeah. That's what she said. She was like, I'm totally like, I won't leave the house. Like, we will be back at home for their naps.
Lockdown would have been great for her.
Yeah, she was very fixated on it.
But if it doesn't bother her, that's fine. If you want to be at home for all those naps, then that's great. I actually used to love doing the lunchtime nap at home because I could make my lunch and maybe go and have a nap. Yeah. Which I loved. But again, if we went out for the day, it's not the end of the world. You can buy a snooze shade for the pram, make it nice and dark. Mm-hmm. You can take a portable white noise machine out with you, put it in the pram with your baby. They might not sleep for as long because you're obviously out
and about. Yeah.
But it's fine to have an occasional.
Real life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that you can't just be at home every single day. Yeah. I think that there has to be some flexibility to your baby's routine. Yeah.
Ziggy loved a pram sleep.
Most babies do.
Pram, and I did the whole, like, what is it? The Scandinavian thing where you leave them outside.
Yeah.
Loved it. He would sleep for hours.
That really interests me. How they do that.
Okay.
So I see lots of pictures of people like in cafes with all their babies just kind of lined outside. I think it's really good for them.
Yeah, me too.
The fresh air is great.
Ziggy slept the best that way. I literally would just be staring at him and he'd be like on a third hour of sleep outside. And I'm like, are you good? I'd like keep checking his breathing and stuff, but he loved sleeping outside.
Yeah.
And way there more is than sleeping something, inside.
Yeah, there is something to that.
But air is like so powerful. Right. Yeah. Okay. My baby was sleeping through the night and now they are forever waking up. Why?
Fine. This could be a few things. I don't know how old your baby is, but if they've just gone through the 4-month regression, that can really disrupt sleep. So basically, before the 4-month regression, your baby doesn't have proper sleep cycles. So your baby could probably be assisted to sleep before the 4-month regression and still sleep quite well. And then what happens is during the 4-month regression, your baby's sleep cycles mature to like adult sleep cycles. So if they're used to being assisted to sleep before the 4-month regression and then they're being assisted after it, they're now coming out of a sleep cycle and need assistance to go back into it, whereas they didn't have that sleep cycle before.
Okay.
So it might be that your baby might have a sleep association, or it could be that your routine's slightly off during the day. Can't really give an answer to the routines that a hold your baby is.
Yeah.
But maybe look on my page for kind of I've got a pinned reel actually that's got sample routines for all the different ages. Yeah. So maybe take a look at that and see if it's a routine based issue or if it is a sleep association issue.
And just touching on it, so you believe in the whole regression thing? You think it's real?
That one. That's the real one. Yeah.
Okay.
The other things, so online, you'll probably see that there's regressions between kind of 8 and 10 months.
I see people talking about 12 months. Regressions.
All the time. Someone said to me the other day about a 6-month regression. And I was like, no, that's new to me.
Okay.
The 4-month regression happens any time between 12 and 20 weeks.
Okay.
So and it won't happen dead on. Yes. Okay. Because that's when their sleep cycles mature. But these ones that you see, like the 8 to 10 month, the 12 month, the 18 month. They're not really real sleep regressions because nothing is happening with their circadian rhythms.
Okay.
But things around those ages happen. So in terms of the 8 to 10 month one, your baby might learn to start to crawl.
Yeah.
The 12 month one, your baby might start learning words.
So it's more like developmental rather than sleep.
Yes. So developmental milestones can impact sleep because your baby's learned a new skill, right? They want to show it off all the time.
Okay.
So make sure once your baby does kind of learn to crawl or wave or walk, you're giving them a lot of time in the day to practice those skills so that they don't feel like they need to practice it at night.
They're just showing off.
Yeah, they like it. They're showing off their new skill. And
which is why they talk about when they are in the wake window, as in they're awake, to really let them go for it.
Yes.
Time themselves out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So real. This is an interesting one because I actually went through this.
Okay.
How to stop the 5 a.m. wake-ups. So let's base that around maybe like a one-year-old. Just before a one-year-old. Because I remember Ziggy was doing this and it was killing me.
It's a very, very common issue. Okay. Especially at this time of the year when the sun comes up.
Yeah.
Make sure the room is super dark. Yeah. Super, super dark. I love block blinds. And also if you can't afford the block blinds, I would... This is going to sound really weird.
What is it?
Tinfoil.
Okay.
On windows. If you just wet the tinfoil and stick it to the window...
It blocks out the sunlight.
Blocks out the sunlight. Okay. It's the best, cheapest blackout blind you can ever find.
Okay.
I've done that on in Airbnbs before.
Okay.
And... 5 a.m., sorry. If your baby's waking up at 5, say they're, I don't know, over 1 and they're having milk straight away...
Yeah.
This can become a habit.
Okay.
And they wake up at 5, you're giving them milk, you're kind of... signaling that it's time to start the day.
Okay.
So I wouldn't, after 1, they wouldn't need the milk anyway in the morning. So I would just do breakfast at 7.
Okay.
So because if they're having something before that, or even 6:30, whatever time you want to start your day, try not to do milk or breakfast before that.
Okay.
Because it can be
into a habit of wanting it.
If they are a bit younger than that, and you think actually at 5 they're hungry, I would maybe, if they're weaning age, I would maybe try like an extra snack before bedtime.
Okay.
Maybe like a banana. Bananas are really great because bananas help stimulate melatonin production.
Okay.
As do quite a few things. Cherries, kiwis.
Oh, interesting.
Milk.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's loads. I've got a thing about it on my page. I think walnuts do.
So giving it to them at night time.
Yeah, just a snack before bed. So maybe if they've had dinner at, I don't know, 4:30, 5.
Yeah.
Maybe at like 5:45, give them a snack.
Yeah.
Because then that might help with the 5 a.m. wake up if you do think they are waking up hungry at that time. Also, things to be aware of is babies that go to bed overtired will wake up early in the morning.
Yeah.
So watch that wake window before bed.
And it's like when people say, like, Seth is a culprit of this. He'll be like, oh, if we put him to bed later, he'll sleep in later. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that. And I find if I put Ziggy to bed on that sweet spot, it's that sweet spot that carries him over.
It's that wake, that last
If he goes to bed later, he's still waking up at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very rare that he'll do the 12 hours from when I put him down.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm always rolling my eyes at them. I'm like, no, babe, it doesn't work like that. Like, how many times do I have to tell you?
Even my kids are almost 5 and 7. And
what time do they go to sleep?
Between 7 and 8. Okay. Ophelia, like 7. Yeah. Aria, more like 8. But even if I put Aria to bed at 10, she'll probably still wake up at 6:30.
Yeah.
And then she'd just be ratty and miserable, and I don't want to do
and
that.
And also, what I noticed with Ziggy, and this might not be for everyone, but I noticed that the temperature of the room also really affects what time he wakes up.
Fine.
I don't know if that's like a thing or not.
Yeah, temperature
but
of the room
can be a little bit of a sucker for maybe making it a little bit too cozy and warm. And he kind of, I don't know if he wakes up maybe a bit thirsty. Not sure.
Oh, maybe.
But when the room's cooler.
Yeah.
Not as in cold, as in like, it's not the right temperature, but just on the cooler level.
Yeah.
He sleeps in longer. Don't know if that's a thing.
I do too.
Yeah.
I sleep better when it's a cooler room.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So maybe it is a thing.
Yeah. So optimal temperatures between 18 and 22.
Yeah.
Obviously in the summer, if you can't keep it like that, don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't. I think a lot of people can become really fixated on.
You do. Yeah, you do.
The room temperature in the summer, if you can't control it, honestly, don't panic too much. Just make sure that your baby's obviously not wearing loads and loads of layers,
because you can,
because then they can overheat.
Exactly.
But if it's out of your control, try and relax a bit more.
Someone said, this isn't a question, but she's a wizard. It's the best money I've ever spent.
Oh, I love that.
How do I survive the 4 month sleep progression? Have a drink if you want a drink.
4 months sleep progression.
Which is the real one that you
Which is the real one. That's the brain development. That's the... You can survive it.
Yeah. How?
I would say, actually, even... that baby might already be 4 months. I would say, even before the 4 month progression, if you can get your baby to self-settle, then you're not going to... You're not going to feel it that much because they already know how to do it. You could start some kind of gentle sleep training after the 4 month sleep progression, I would say.
Okay.
And that would help. If you don't want to do sleep training, then try and ask for help. Get as much rest as you can. Maybe everybody hates it when I say this. Just nap when your baby naps, if you can.
Yeah.
If you can't and your baby is having kind of half an hour naps, which is also very common, maybe ask a partner or a grandparent or a babysitter, anybody you trust, just to kind of, if they can take your baby out for a walk for a couple of hours,
yeah,
just so you can get some rest, I would really do that.
Overall opinion on dummies. Good for long, good for so long, and ditch or better off without, with regards to sleep.
Ditch.
Good.
Ditch.
Ditch. Oh, okay, sorry.
Sorry. Just, some babies are fine with dummies. My eldest had a dummy and she actually still did like long naps and she slept fine. But even when she was two, if that dummy fell out of her cot, I was still getting up in the night to go and get it. It was really annoying. but I would say a lot of my clients, we get rid of the dummies.
Okay.
Because they can cause short naps. They can cause wake-ups in the night.
Yeah.
Because it's another sleep association. If your baby's falling asleep with that dummy in their mouth and they come to the end of a sleep cycle and it's not there, they're going to want it back. And it's either you putting it back, or even if they can do it themselves, they're still having a disturbed night looking for that dummy. I don't think Ziggy ever had.
Ziggy never had a dummy. No. And I remember, this is so funny, I was at the depth of my despair. I was really struggling. And I was at my mum's house. And you know when you got the mum rage, when you're that tired and overstimulated. Yeah. And I was like a freaking psychopath, like storming up the stairs. I went into the drawers, finding any dummy I could. I was ripping out the package, running downstairs, and I was trying to give it to Ziggy. I was like, please, anything. And Ziggy was like not taking it. He refused it.
A lot of babies
don't
like.
Yeah, he's not a dummy baby. Yeah. He didn't want it. He refused it. And thank God, actually, because I'd done so long like without it. It was never really my plan to give him one. I wasn't a dummy baby. I don't think she will be a dummy baby. It's just not really something that I really wanted.
Yeah.
Personal preference. But I do remember that one day I was like on a rampage and I was like, please, anything. Didn't work.
Some babies are fine with dummies though. Really is different.
Yeah,
for all
my
of
best
them.
Friend's little one is a great sleeper.
So is your other friend who I helped, Sydney. Ocean has a dummy and she's fine. She's a great sleeper actually.
My best friend's baby is great with a dummy, and when he falls out, he's not really that bothered.
Fine. They're all different.
It's so different. So like particular and individualistic to that child.
If you come to me and tell me my baby is having a half an hour nap, my baby is waking up, I'm having to go in and put the dummy, I'm sure as soon as I put the dummy back, I go back to sleep. So I'm like, right, so the dummy's the issue.
Problem.
Yeah.
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 It's all circumstantial.
Then we'll get rid of it. Yeah.
Do you believe in such thing as regressions, or is it avoidable by a solid routine? I think you've answered that question.
Yeah, just the 4-month one.
Yeah. How to be able to transfer a baby mid-nap. I'm not really sure what she means by that.
Oh, maybe from the car or the push if they fall asleep?
Maybe.
My advice would be don't.
Leave them.
Honestly, don't. Yeah. I think that actually if they can just finish their nap in the car or the...
I'm the one that sat in the car and waited.
Yeah. Because I don't stress yourself out.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more stressful because you're going to wake the baby up and they'll go in the cot and they might wake up and not go back off. Finish the nap in the pram or the car.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That's when they say like your life literally revolves around this child.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. How to get a 2-month-old, you've got an age there, to drink more in the day to be able to have less at night.
2 months is so young to still be having, like, night feeds at 2 months are normal. Normal.
Yeah.
Less in the day. I don't know how often they're feeding in the night, but maybe say, like, if your 2-month-old can go 3 hours in the day between bottles or between feeds, then they can definitely do 3 hours at night.
Yeah.
I would still expect a 2-month-old to be having night feeds, though.
Of course, yeah.
But you could possibly, I know I just said, not dummies, but if they're waking up, it's only been an hour since their last feed or something at night, then maybe you could pacify them with a dummy for a bit instead and try and get them to get to that 3-hour
break
in the night so that then they're finishing a bottle in the night. Because also if they're having too much in the night, they're not then going to be hungry in the day. So I would try and drag out the spaces between bottles in the night.
And at what age do you feel like a baby shouldn't be having anything at night?
Oh, it really depends on the baby.
Okay.
Even my generally, two, so different. I think my youngest didn't have a bottle since 7 weeks. She was really young. But she's a massive baby.
7 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. She went through the night at 7 weeks?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
But my eldest probably, like, she was having a bottle of maybe like 5 months in the night. They're all so different.
Okay.
My youngest was a much bigger baby. I could fill her up in the day.
Okay.
And she just didn't need it. I think I was giving her a
bottle. Yeah, that's a dream.
Yeah, it was.
That's so good.
But again, she didn't have a dummy. I don't know if that also made a difference.
Okay. Because I don't know what... I can't remember with Ziggy. I think... No, I can't remember. I'm not even going to answer because it's a blur.
I would say once they're having kind of... They're getting enough calories during the day. They're a healthy weight. You know they're fine.
Yeah.
Probably after about 6 or 7 months, I'd say most babies don't need a night feed.
Okay.
A breastfed baby might be slightly longer. Maybe you could do like one feed like 8, 9 months. But again, if you find that you're giving this baby one feed in the night and they're waking up in the morning, they're not hungry for their first feed, they're not hungry for their breakfast, that's probably a sign to ditch the night feed.
Okay. This is a really interesting one because you said one of the main things that got you interested in this whole sleep thing is when you were nannying for the autistic child. This lady said, I've got an autistic toddler. So toddler age, are we talking like 1 to 3 toddlers?
Yeah,
toddler?
I'd say so.
And my sleep is in the trenches.
It's hard.
Hold on. Autistic toddler and sleep routine. Then she's put lots of crying faces. Sleep is in the trenches, or we're in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Do you it's work hard. With autistic children? Or
I don't, but I can offer advice. So children with autism don't actually need as much sleep as other children. So you might find that they can still sleep though, but you might find that if you're trying to put like a 6, 7 bedtime on them, actually they're not ready for sleep yet.
Okay.
So you could maybe try slightly later bedtime.
Okay.
And see if that helps, maybe like 8-ish.
Okay.
But again, autistic children love routine.
Okay.
A lot of babies love routine, especially children that are neurodiverse who love a routine. So I would try and do the same exact steps at bedtime so they become familiar with the bedtime routine, make it as consistent as possible. I don't know, read their favourite story. You can read the same story every single night because a lot of autistic children like that. They like the repetitiveness. They like that routine, the familiarity. So do the bath exactly the same time every night. Give them a cup of milk at the same time every night. Read the story at the same time. Read the same book every night if you want to, just so they know. And I don't know how old the child is, but just you could maybe get some visuals.
Okay.
So, like, I've seen lots of... can we make one? Like, a picture of a bed, a picture of a book.
Uh-huh.
And just do it in that order, and you can point and explain to your child, this is what's happening now. But, yeah, autistic children, they can still sleep well. It's just you have to be very precise about things that you're doing. And so make it a very repetitive routine.
Yeah, so interesting.
Yeah. Because they like the routine. They like the repetitiveness of it. They like to know what's coming so that because things that are slightly different throw them off.
Oh, so interesting.
Yeah.
Can breastfed babies be sleep trained to sleep through the night?
Yeah.
Lucy, did you sleep train? I'd say like loosely I did.
Yeah.
I got it's so different because obviously Ziggy had eczema and allergies, and there were a lot of external factors affecting him, like excruciatingly itchy skin,
yes.
Which is so hard to sleep train a baby who, bless them, are in so much pain. But what me and Seth always talk about, and Seth always like commends me on in a way, is that even though we were struggling so much with routine because Ziggy was in so much pain, I stuck to it every day. I was like, so set on this routine because I was like, I know that when this boy heals, he's going to get it straight away.
Yeah.
The only thing that's keeping him up is his pain and his skin is so uncomfortable. And he had such a poorly belly because obviously with his allergies and the things that were affecting his gut. And I was right. As soon as he was healed, he slept through the night. Like that time he went through.
Yeah. Yours and is I think, more, sorry.
Go on.
Like sleep shaping.
Yeah.
So he then knew what to do when he was then well.
He so knew what was going on. He just couldn't do it because he was in so much pain and he just wanted his mom or dad. But I just did not let that routine slip. And I was anal about it. I'll be honest, I was.
Yeah.
But I was like, and also I think when you're self-employed, because I was doing work full-time and mom full-time, I was like, if I don't nail this and I just let him sleep willy-nilly, I will never get anything done.
Yeah.
I need the routine. Like a lot of people say to me like, oh, he goes to bed so early. And I'm like, yeah, because then I can work.
Hmm.
Like, I
need to go to bed.
Anytime between 6 and 6:30.
Oh, yeah, fine.
And he'll go through till 6:30, 7.
Yeah.
Although this morning he slept in till 8:10.
You said he's a bit unwell at the moment.
He's unwell.
Yeah.
But still, that was quite a lie of him. I was like, nice. Are you alive? but yeah, I'm a routine mom. I don't care if people think I'm anal about it. It's how the days work. It's how I can work. And he thrives off it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Most children do.
Yeah. My daughter is 20 months and she still doesn't sleep through the night unless she's in my bed. Help.
Fine. She knows your bed's an option.
Yeah.
I think that a few tough nights of your bed not being an option anymore.
Okay.
And I think she'll get it quite quickly because she's older, so she'll understand. And she'll, I think she'll adapt quite quickly. Again, you can use one of the three methods that I talked about earlier. And just, I was going to say explain to her, she's only 20 months, but just let her know that her cot is where she's... I assume that she starts the night in her cot anyway.
I assume so, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But they definitely understand at 20 months.
Yeah, yeah, so I like think so.
Almost two.
Yes. Yeah. So just explain, make her bedroom as inviting as possible. Do lots of playtime in her bedroom, not in her cot.
Yeah.
I will say that because I want the cot to be somewhere that they sleep, not somewhere that they play. Okay.
At what age do you think it's a good idea to transition a cot to a bed?
Not until the very earliest three.
Really?
Sorry, don't do it yet.
Well, we've already done it, please.
Oh, hey, and it's all right.
A dream, not perfect. A problem. I mean, he's...
But how long has he been in the bed?
About 2 weeks.
Oh, not long, and he's nearly three.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fine.
He's three in July.
Yeah, that's fine.
We just thought he was ready for it because he was acing his sleep.
He's been, fine.
Ever since he healed, he's been an epic sleeper.
Yes.
So epic. So we felt like he was really ready for it. And we redid his room. Nice. So we were like, this is a nice timing for him to understand. And he's been great. He's rolled out twice, bless him. But we've made like a soft landing still.
Yeah.
It's a tiny bed. It's so low, but still... But it hasn't affected him. He hasn't woken to get out. He hasn't left his room. In fact, I think he doesn't really get it that he can leave the room and get out of the bed.
Good.
Like, he doesn't come up to us in the morning. He still says, "Mama, I'm awake." As in, like, come on, come and get me.
Good.
So we haven't had an issue with it yet.
Fine. What I see is a lot of people think, so say the 20-month-old, they're having an issue with the sleep. And they think, actually, maybe we'll do a bed. And then that's going to be too young because... It's easier to work on sleep when they can't get out of something. Because if your 20-month-old is used to coming into your bed and then you take them out of a cot and you try and sleep train them in a bed, they don't understand invisible boundaries at that age.
Okay.
Before closer to three, they don't understand invisible boundaries. That's why I say three.
Okay.
But I see that a lot. So say you've got an 18-month-old or a 20-month-old and you then think, oh, their sleep's really bad in a cot. I'm going to put them in a bed. It makes sleep so much worse.
Okay.
Because they don't understand the invisible boundary. So get the sleep right first and then to a bed, but as close to three as possible.
Okay. How to stop motion/bottle feeding to sleep. My child is 2.5. He's still having 1 hour nap in the day.
Oh, nice nap time. That's good. Yeah. I like the nap. The bottles can go in the bin.
Okay.
Sorry. You always come for me when I talk about no bottles for toddlers, but they don't need them. NHS guidelines is to get rid of bottles after 12 months. And at 2.5, I feel like you could make that a thing. You could do like, I don't know, a bottle fairy or something, make it up and make it not a fun game. They won't like getting rid of it. But you could give them maybe a cuddly toy they're now going to take to bed with them instead of the bottle.
Yeah.
And make it like the dummy fairy? The bottle fairy's taken away your bottles and taken them to babies that actually need the bottles. And give them a toy instead.
Yeah. That, to me, I'm not an expert. It sounds like your baby is just taking complete comfort from your motion and your bottle. And it's just about breaking it, which is sad for every mom because you want your baby to feel at their most, like, coziest, comfortable, most safest place. But it's a negative now, a negative
association. Yeah, we don't need that anymore. So I think
they're turning into little adults at this stage. Like, that's Ziggy's age. And I look at him and I'm like, you're a teenager. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
How they just like grow up. It's crazy.
Yeah, I would just put the bottles in the bin. But do it in a creative way.
Yeah. Mm. This is an interesting one. And I'm going to give my opinion. And I'd be interested to see your opinion on my opinion.
Okay, nice.
So my 8-week-old won't be put down. Nights are tough. Now, in my opinion, at 8 weeks, I don't blame the baby for not wanting to put down. Yeah, like, that is so tiny.
Yeah.
So tiny. Especially, as you said, if they were maybe early.
Yes.
Like, I think...
They're still a connect part of you at that age.
Am I wrong in saying, like, hold that baby?
No, I love a contact nap for a newborn.
Okay.
I think it's great. And I always, always... I think this is why my youngest slept through so young. Because I would always... I think I cuddled her to sleep and then I would swaddle her tight.
Let's talk about swaddling then. Do you think it's...
Okay. Because they still feel like they're being cuddled.
Maybe that's this lady's answer. She's not
swaddles, yeah, I think swaddles might be the answer. So for your kind of bedtime routine at that age, you could maybe You can maybe even put them in the swaddle, do their last feed in the swaddle, burp them,
yeah,
and then put them down so they still feel like they're being cuddled to sleep.
That's such a strong... I'm so glad you raised the swaddle point, because with Ziggy at a similar age, I remember, again, me and Seth being first-time parents and not knowing what we were doing, but we didn't swaddle him, and we were like, getting it. We were like, what's going on? Like, we can't... The nights aren't... And then we swaddled him and he was like back in his cocoon and he was so cozy.
He's been inside you for so long. Swaddles tight in your room.
And then we were talking about it because obviously I said to Seth, I was like, I know I feel like so much more experienced, but I feel still like a bit unsure. And he was like, let's just remember when she comes, we're swaddling her, because that's what really helped with her or Ziggy feeling safe. Because
I don't know if you remember when Ziggy was newborn, newborns have that startle reflex and any kind of noise will... They'll move their arms around and then that
wake them up,
jerky movement wakes them up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't swaddle with blankets because that get can be an over... Yeah, that's like an overheating risk. So I would get one that's
there
like...
There are so many on the market.
So many. Yeah. Love to Dream are great. But their arms are up, the Love to Dream ones. Or Amazon just do these like newborn like three-pack...
I think I have like, where you just wrap, with the Velcro. Wrap,
yeah, perfect. Because it's weighted like a sleeping bag, so you're not going to overheat your baby in there.
Yeah, swaddles are so effective, I think. How to get a two-year-old out of the routine of us sitting in their room until they fall asleep.
Could you start moving closer and closer to the door? I don't know if maybe they're sad. If they're not, if they're already by the door, you could do this thing at two. You can do this thing where you do like check-ins, but not really. So you could say, right, I'm just going to pop out and go to the toilet. I'll be back in a minute. And you pop back in 30 seconds. Then you pop out for a minute and I'm going to turn the oven on and you come back. So you know, your baby, your toddler knows you're always coming back to you. And the idea is you spend longer and longer out of the room and eventually they'll fall asleep in their room without you there. So I would try that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good. At what age should you introduce a bedtime routine?
Whatever you want, honestly, yeah. I know a lot. I've seen some people do it from 2 weeks, which I think is quite young. But whenever you want to, I think the earlier the better, but 2 weeks maybe too young.
Yeah, it's too young.
Too young. I think I did it 6-7 weeks, but just very basic kind of follow the wake window, maybe do a little bath.
Yeah.
And then they can just kind of sleep. If you've got like a Moses basket or something in the lounge, and then just maybe do their last
feed. I remember Ziggy loved a bath. It knocked him out.
Yeah.
Knocked him out.
That's nice.
My 7-month-old baby is rolling onto their front and then waking due to feeling stuck. Question mark.
If they can roll onto their front, they're fine to sleep like it. So I would actually let them find their own comfortable position on their front. Okay. If you're baby, because it's 7 months, they can roll. They've got good head control. If you keep rolling them back, you might turn that into a game. But if they are rolling onto their...
I wonder why they
always
feel stuck, though.
Yeah,
maybe the sleep suit they're in or some form of...
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
If they're very stuck, maybe roll them back. But I don't want you to turn that into a game. So I would say try and let them find their own comfortable position on their tummy a little bit before you intervene.
I actually... Oh, sorry, go on.
No,
go ahead. I don't know.
I think I finished.
Okay. I actually remember when... I was struggling to take, because I was feeding Ziggy to sleep, then I was putting him in the cot on his back.
Yeah.
He'd wake up instantly. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, this is before I spoke to you. I was like, I was like, this isn't right. Like, something's wrong. So remember one time I just fed him to sleep and then I lay him on his front and he didn't wake. But then I was like, shit, he's on his front. And I don't think he was at an age where he should be on his front, but he slept so good. So I literally just stayed awake watching him, which didn't work because I was even more of a zombie. But he was so peaceful on his front.
Interesting. I wonder if it was his reflux, his tummy.
Because he had bad belly.
What I would say, always put them down on their back. Sorry.
Say again.
Always put them down on their back to sleep.
I know you say
if
that.
If they roll onto their tummy to sleep, then that's fine. But always lay them.
Why is that?
Because they can breathe better on their... It's for SIDS risks.
Yeah. And at what age do you feel like they can be elevated, i.e. mini pillow?
I wouldn't use a mini pillow, really. No. I don't think they need a pillow until they're in a bed.
Oh, so because Ziggy's got one now.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
This is so funny. How to explain lighter evenings to my 2.5-year-old who's telling me it's still morning at 6:37. It's so funny.
It is funny, but explain the seasons and how that works.
We have this with Ziggy.
Yeah.
When it's bedtime, I said, come on, Ziggy, it's bedtime. He says, Mommy, it's light outside. I said, yeah, but the moon is coming.
Yeah.
The moon is coming.
Also, last night, actually, the moon was out and it was still bright.
Yeah.
Because my four-year-old keeps asking me. And I was like, no, Ophelia, look, the moon is actually in the sky. It's just because it's springtime now, so it stays a bit later.
So
just make sure their room's super dark.
Super dark, yeah. But Ziggy associates night with moon. So if I talk about the moon, or if he can see the moon, or if I say like, no, baby, the moon is coming.
Yes.
He's like, okay, the moon is coming. He really associates moon and sun with day and night. So we always talk about the moon, even though it's still light outside. And he gets it.
Yeah. And you can also get like okay to wake clocks on Amazon.
Are they the Tony things that everyone talks about?
No, it's different. A Tony box is like it tells stories, but an okay to wake clock, you set it. So it's got like a picture on the front, like an LED screen. And like the moon can come on at like 6 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And the sun can come on at like, I don't know, whenever you set it.
And do you like that kind of thing?
I like it for slightly older toddlers, maybe like, yeah, probably Ziggy's age. Three would work. 3 and 4, that would be great.
Well, I'm lucky because I just have to say the moon and he gets it.
Yeah, but for a toddler that might not get it, I think an okay to wake clock might be good. Also really helpful if they're waking up at 5 a.m. because they can see that the moon's still on that clock.
Yeah.
And they'll know that they can stay in bed.
And when Ziggy has done that, just giving personal experience, you can take it if you're not. What we say is the children are still sleeping.
Yes.
And he's like, okay, children are still sleeping. And he goes back to bed. It's actually my mom who started that because we were on holiday and he woke up really early. And he was in my mom and dad's room on that day. We were at a wedding, so they had him. And my mom was like, hell no, is he waking up at this time? Because it was a
time difference?
Not really, no. Oh, okay. But it was a small boutique hotel, so all the rooms. And Ziggy's like a confident loud boy in the morning. And my mom started saying, like, Ziggy, the children are still sleeping. And he really understood it. I'm just the furthest from professional Jesus Christ. But I do think it is about finding things for your child that they understand.
Yes.
So that one sentence, Ziggy knows, it's not time to wake up. Yeah. And when we talk about the moon, it's time to go to bed. It's just finding things that work. Because they're all so different. And
also different. They have such different understandings of things at that age as well.
Yeah.
I feel like when
their imaginations are so different.
Yeah, so different.
What age should we start self-settling the baby with?
If you can do it before the 4 month progression, I think that's great. Like 3 months, very gently. Like I remember just putting my youngest down. I can't remember my eldest a lot. Putting her down awake and just lots of reassurance and like in the swaddle probably still.
Yeah.
She'd be swaddled. She'd be in a nice mood because I'd get her in that
sweet spot
of the wake window. You want to put your baby down when they look like they don't need a nap. I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but my father-in-law once said, I was putting her down, and he was like, she's not ready for a nap. I'm like, no, she is. And I'd put her down and she'd just go to sleep.
The one thing that makes a mother rage, when someone says they're not ready for sleep, I'm like, ah, you don't know, like, shut up.
Yeah.
So I hate that, it kills me.
Yeah. And I remember I would just put her down and he'd be like, has she gone to sleep? I'm like, yeah. And like the optimal,
you feel so smug about it, don't you?
The optimal kind of sleep onset is between like 10 and 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
If it's less than 5, the baby's probably overtired.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What is the most important factor to get right before/during sleep training? What would you say is like the number one thing?
I think the wake window sweet spot. I think that if you're putting them down at a perfect time.
I agree.
I think that that's great.
My baby is so unsettled at night and he wakes multiple times. Don't know why. Any tips would be helpful.
Oh, I don't know. There could be lots of things going on.
Yeah.
Could be eczema or allergies like Ziggy. Could be that they're relying on too much assistance to fall asleep. Could be the wake window's off. That's really hard. And I don't know how old your baby is.
Yeah, that's a hard one. How to stop breastfeeding my 1-year-old at night?
So I would do the last feed, still do it at bedtime, but always have something in between the feed and going to bed. So you could start a new bedtime routine of like, I don't know, feed, bath, book, bed, or even bath, nappy on, feed, pajamas and sleeping bag, then a book and then bed. So just try and have something in between the feed and going into their cot to break it up. And offer a different kind of reassurance until they fall asleep.
Interesting. Someone just spoke about teething and how it's really affected their little one's sleep. 20 months old. Keeps waking up at 1 a.m. or 5 a.m. I am breastfeeding. Any advice?
I'm going to tell you that teething doesn't really affect sleep.
Does it not?
Sorry. Maybe like a couple of days, but not really. So if you think your baby's teething, I would just do kind of like some teething powders or something before naps, before bedtime. I really like those Ashton Parsons. They're like a homeopathic teething crystals. I would do those kind of before naps, before bedtime.
Okay.
If it's been going on for longer than two, maybe three nights, it's probably not teething. It could be something different. Could be, this is recent, maybe the clock change has sorted out, your not sorted out, has affected your toddler's sleep, something like that. So I'd say possibly isn't teething if it's been going on for quite a long time.
Okay. My baby is 4 weeks and his bedtime routine is currently at a 9/10 p.m. feed. When should I bring it forward or bring it earlier?
4 weeks on a bedtime routine already. That is organised, isn't okay. it? Yeah. No.
As I say, my whole journey was a blur, so I'm like, I don't even remember anything. I don't even...
Sounds like she's got it down. Doing it. Yeah. I would say between 9 and 11 is perfect for a newborn.
Okay.
Babies of that age do better with a slightly later bedtime than a six-month-old.
Yes.
So anything between 9 and 11 sounds perfect for that age. You could start to bring it earlier. If your baby's consistently having a feed at, between 9 and 10, and you want that feed to become kind of their last feed before bedtime, then turn that feed into their last feed before bedtime. So maybe if it's a 8:45 feed they're having every day, say, get them in the bath at 8:15, get them out, do their last feed. And just do that feed slightly differently. So do it in a darker room so they know that this is the last feed of the day and then it's time to go to bed. Uh-huh. And you could... Well, it's 4 weeks, it's so young.
So young. When does she bring it earlier? Are you saying like the six-month mark?
No.
No?
No, probably... You could probably bring it earlier 6 weeks, maybe? Okay. To like maybe 8 to 9. But super newborn, 9 to 11 p.m. is perfect for...
So you're smashing it, babes.
She really is.
Yeah, I love that. What is the best thing to do on holiday? What is the best thing to do if you're on holiday and can't have a separate room for the baby?
Snooze shade. Make a cot cover.
Okay.
It's perfect because it still makes them feel like they're in their own room.
Yeah.
Because you put it over the top of the cot. They do them for cots and travel cots, all different sizes. Yeah. They're brilliant. And it just blacks out the cot, makes them feel like they're in
there. And also what we did is, I think it's totally dependent on how big the room is and the layout of the room. But if, I just remember we were in Italy and for some reason the room was huge.
Yeah.
And they had little parts of the room. So we kind of made Ziggy like a makeshift room, although we were all still in the same room. I think it's sometimes about being creative. Loads of people put cots in like the wardrobe.
I've definitely put them in bathrooms.
And in the bathrooms. Yeah, yeah. I was about to say
if
that.
If the bathroom's big enough.
It's so fun. And then do you wheel them back out when you need to use it, when they've gone to sleep?
Or I would just use the toilet in the reception.
Oh, you're dedicated. I'd wheel them back out. I'd say, get the hell out of the bathroom now.
Actually, I have used the toilet when the cot's in there and they didn't even wake up.
Yeah.
I
think as soon as they get in that deep sleep, they're not easily disturbed. Yeah. When should a 10-week-old be napping during the day, given the days are so light? 10-week-old, they'd be napping lots, wouldn't they?
Lots, yeah. I would say probably 4 to 5 naps at that age.
Yeah.
10 weeks, wake windows, an hour to an hour and 45 max. You want to have the first wake window slightly shorter.
Okay.
So the shortest wake window in the morning, because they've often got a hangover of melatonin from the night.
Yeah.
So do that first wake window a bit shorter, maybe an hour for that one. And then before bed, the longest, so maybe an hour and a half to an hour and 45. So maybe the middle of the day, wake window is like hour and 15. Yeah, I know. So
I've put my baby to sleep at 7 p.m. from 3 weeks old. Is this bad?
Wow. No, if this is working for you, then that's working for you. Everything works differently for different families. Sounds like you're killing it.
Is the 4-month sleep regression avoidable?
No.
Can you sleep train if you're exclusively breastfeeding?
Yes.
Help with extending naps, please. Nearly 5 months old and always wakes up after 30 minutes. That's a really good question because I know a lot of moms that struggle with that when the babies just don't go for long.
Could be the dummy, if they've got a dummy.
Because
again, during the day, a sleep cycle is between 30 and 45 minutes. So if your baby's assisted to sleep, then that could be what's waking them. But also, some babies don't extend naps naturally until about 7-8 months anyway. So you might want to do slightly more naps in the day. So some 5-month-olds, if they're having kind of a solid 2-hour nap in the middle of the day, say, they might be on 3 naps a day. Yeah. But if they're only getting half an hour, you might just want to do more frequent, shorter naps, like 4 or 5 naps instead. And if the short naps are not affecting bedtime or nighttime, then
it is what it is.
Yeah, sorry. Some babies are short nappers.
Is it possible to sleep train without any crying?
No. But we can do things like...
of sleep training, they will cry, equals they will cry.
No, because you can do other things to improve sleep that aren't sleep training, like I spoke about earlier. Yeah. You can make sure their environment's great and you can make sure they're going down at like a nice time. But generally, if you're sleep training and you want to teach them to fall asleep independently, which is what sleep training is, they're going to be unhappy about it because you're changing something that they're not used to. Yeah. But again, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But it's also not going to be, you know, for weeks and weeks on end.
Is there anything you can do to help naps on the go? My baby only naps at home.
Yeah, you can get a snooze shade for a pram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really calling snooze shade out the line.
You are. Shout out to snooze shade.
So
it's so interesting, though, because Ziggy loved an on-the-go nap in the car. Would sleep for hours if we did a long journey.
Nice.
Yeah, really lucky. My kids
didn't do long naps in the car.
Oh, I loved it.
But if your baby's struggling to do long naps, I do think snooze shades are great.
Okay.
Especially in the summertime, because actually they're like UV protection as well.
How to get my 4-month-old to stop using my nipple as a dummy and needing it in his sleep?
I mean, nipples were invented before dummies, so that's the OG.
Yeah.
A dummy. But again, it's a sleep association, so try and at bedtime do something in between the last feed and bedtime. Yeah. Even if it's something small like putting their sleeping bag on.
This is an interesting one. 2.5-year-old, so Ziggy's age, which is why I find it, I can relate, refuses completely to have a nap.
Okay.
But he's exhausted and he keeps falling asleep at 4 p.m.
Oh, so annoying.
It's so hard. Oh,
because actually, I feel you. Some 2.5-year-olds have dropped naps by that. Yeah,
Ziggy,
at that age.
Ziggy does refuse a nap.
Yeah, so you just do early to bed.
Yeah, he goes at that time, like,
yeah, he's pretty done. Much
whenever. Even if he has a nap, he'll still go at that time.
Yes.
But the funny thing is, with this age, I agree with her, because sometimes I look at Ziggy and I'm like, you are exhausted. But he refuses, point blank, because they're stubborn and they've got their personality. And obviously, he started nursery.
Yes.
Refuses a nap at nursery. Like,
yeah. It's too much going on.
It just doesn't, so it's such a funny age.
I would try and power through, maybe get them in the bath like 5:30 and then go straight to bed.
Yeah.
If they really don't need a nap. If you can see they're really struggling, then maybe go out for a drive at like 1-ish and see if they'll just have a little car nap.
That's sometimes what I would do as well. I'm plan a day sometimes now. If I need to do a journey, I'll do it around that time, and sometimes he does fall asleep.
Because even just like a quick 30 minutes in the car might make all the difference and stop them falling asleep at 4-ish.
What to do during a bedtime routine when my toddler, so again, probably that 2.5-ish, 3 mark, is going through separation anxiety?
Lots of kind of one-on-one time.
Okay.
Maybe they're at nursery. Because if they're at nursery and then they're not spending as much quality time with you.
Mom.
I would, it's hard as well if they've got another baby as well. I don't know if they have. But I would try and cut out even 20 minutes at the end of your day just to have time with your toddler. Yeah. And hopefully that will help kind of fill their cup a bit of time with you. And that should help with the separation anxiety. So just something like some special kind of one-on-one time. I don't know, play their favourite game or read their favourite books together. Just something one-on-one.
Yeah. My 2.5-year-old keeps screaming and waking up in the night.
2.5. Mm. Oh, that's very annoying.
And night terrors are a thing at that
age. They are. They can start about 18 months. Oh, night terrors are hard.
Night terrors are really hard.
Caused by overtiredness, though.
Okay.
And really weirdly, cheese.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. So if your baby's having cheese for dinner,
don't
do it. Yeah. Try and do an earlier bedtime. And I don't know how often, she didn't say how often it's happening.
No. Also, I think in that, you've just got to use Mother Nature. Like, if she's terrified and something's happening in a bad dream, you've just got to be there for her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
And pat her back to sleep or
whatever. Comfort her. Yeah.
Because adults have bad dreams and we wake up and we feel awful and we feel like we need a cuddle. So You can't deprive
their imaginations really developing at this age, and I think just get out of the pot, give her a cuddle. If it's happening a lot, it could be overtiredness or something she's eating.
I've experienced that with Ziggy recently. He's woke up a few times, not screaming as in like a night terror, but I can tell that he's had a bit of a bad dream about something. Mm. And all he wants to know is that you're there.
Yes.
So you just have to walk in the room and say, Mommy's here or Daddy's here.
Yeah.
Give him a slight rub on the back and he literally like nestles back in. It's like they just want to know that you're there. And I feel like at that age, you can't not give that to them.
No, no, no.
Any tips? I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. Neither of them sleep through the night. The 3-year-old has never slept through the night. I've never sleep trained. Always gone to them when they're cried. Don't know what to do. I think sometimes case, just sleep, like, you just got to bite the bullet and sleep train them, I think.
The 1-year-old will be quite easy to sleep train, I think, as well. Yeah. The 3-year-old.
Difficult.
It's not that difficult, to be honest. It's not easy. The 1-year-old's easier. Yeah. They'll be in a cot. You can sleep train them with any of the methods that I talked about earlier. The 3-year-old, I wonder if you could play that game that I talked about as well with the popping in and out the room. And just kind of get them used to falling asleep without you there.
Uh-huh.
Because ultimately, if you're there at bedtime, they're going to wonder where you've gone when they wake up.
Uh-huh.
And at 3 years old, they're obviously very aware that you're there. And you've been there for their whole life, which is great. That's fine. But if it's now inconvenient, then I would start to leave the room at bedtime.
Yeah.
And with a 3-year-old, you can explain that this is they new. Will get it. And, and you can explain this.
Especially she also said, I'm knackered.
I would be too.
Which is why I do think, and I do would say to anyone, if around kind of like the 12-month mark, you're still not getting full night's sleeps to sleep train, because you're nipping it in the bud. And you're getting in them into the routine when you can. I think when they get older, it gets so much harder. So if you haven't mastered it, or they haven't mastered it, or whoever hasn't mastered it, like by that kind of like maybe 10 to 12 months, I don't know how you feel, no, but like, like don't not do it, because in the long run, it will save
years of sleep. When you've had enough of sleep deprivation, I would try and do something about it.
Yeah.
Some people don't mind it for a long time, and that's also absolutely fine. But this lady's exhausted, so I would try and get your 1-year-old falling asleep in the cot, and I would try and get your 3-year-old to also fall asleep without you in the room.
How to transition my 2.5-year-old from co-sleeping into her big girl bed?
Oh, co-sleeping for 2.5 years is a long time. It's going to be a big adjustment for her, but. If it's a bed, maybe start with a cot.
Okay.
If you can't, if you've just got a bed, fine. I think that you're just going to have to explain to her. Because I think, again, she might understand. Some 2.5-year-olds have a great understanding. Yeah. So you could explain to her that this is your new bed. Try and get her excited about it.
I think that's the key part. Yeah,
try and get her excited about it. And don't leave the room for the first night. Because I think that because she's been co-sleeping for a very long time with you, she's going to be really confused about going into her bed anyway.
Yeah.
So stay with her.
Yeah.
Don't sleep in the bed with her, but just sit on the floor, read some nice bedtime stories, explain to her that you're going to wait there until she falls asleep. In the night when she wakes up, if she gets out of the bed, return her back to her bed again, tell her you're going to stay there just with her.
Very consistent with
any night wake up. So whatever method you choose to use to sleep train as well, anybody... Be consistent with it, with the night wake-ups as well.
One of my friends I saw did a rewards chart. I don't know how you feel about this.
A rewards chart.
About staying in bed.
Yes.
And then after like however many nights in bed, she got rewarded with a treat. Yeah. I don't know if that's a good...
Yep.
So but it worked. It's working. And also she made the room really like beautiful and special and like magical with like the fairy lights.
Nice.
Got a gorgeous bed. So I think it is about at that stage when they are that little bit older... Making it like a new exciting like event almost for them, you know? How to get back on track after your baby has been poorly.
Oh, that's really a tough one.
Because everything goes out the window when they're poorly. Like,
and I would say if they are poorly, don't even follow the routine. They might need to sleep a lot more to get rid of that germ. They need to sleep that germ off. Don't worry too much about a routine if they're unwell. Once they're not unwell, you could just go back to exactly what you were doing before.
Yeah.
So the same bedtime routine they've been used to for their whole life, apart from the short illness. Yeah. And they should go back and get back into it quite quickly, to be honest with you, because if it's been consistent for a long time and it's just like a short, brief illness, then they'll know that. Yeah.
Yeah. My 2-year-old has eczema and is not sleeping help. I feel like I can help with this one.
Yeah, you can answer that.
Yeah, I feel like you have to fix the eczema because like it's such a chicken and egg situation because eczema needs a lot of sleep to help recover.
Yes.
But when you have eczema, you are in that much pain most of the time. You can't sleep. So I think you have to heal the eczema first. And when he or she starts to heal, you will see them be in such a much more of a comfort to sleep. There's a lot of things you can do with eczema and sleep anyways. There's so many companies online that offer like eczema. I don't know what the word is, but PJs for eczema.
I've seen those.
I forgot what they're called. I don't know what they're called.
They're like a hypoallergenic fabric.
Yes. But I never used it with Ziggy, but apparently they're really helpful.
Mustela makes them.
Do they?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not going to go too much into it because that will be a whole other podcast, but you have to get to the root cause of the gut issue affecting the eczema first. And then I think sleep comes hand in hand because they will be wanting... I feel like Ziggy started to sleep so well as well because he had so much catching up to do.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I can sleep.
He's catching up on his sleep debt.
But I'm so sorry because that is just heartbreaking. Mm. My 23-month-old stopped sleeping on his own since he was ill with a cough and being sick. Now he won't be put down without screaming and throwing up.
Oh my God.
Is there anything I can do?
Yeah, but stay in the room again for a few nights because I think that I don't want them to throw up. I think that if you're leaving the room and they're throwing up, then they're very distressed. Quite intense. Yeah. So I would stay in the room and kind of get him used to falling asleep in the cot again, but with you there. And then maybe stay in the room for about a week or so he gets used to just pushing himself back to sleep in the cot and then maybe start to leave.
Best habits to start from day one to set yourself up for a good sleeper.
I would, the sleep environment is great. So kind of swaddles, dark room. If you're going to use white noise, make sure it's on all night. So a lot of these white noise machines come and they're on a timer, which is so annoying because that then, if they're falling asleep to that noise and they come to the end of a sleep cycle and the noise is gone, they're going to wake up and expect the noise. So if you are going to use white noise, make sure it's on for the whole duration of the nap and it is on all night. I would just make, I would just make like a consistent bedtime routine from as early on as possible
that you can
just keep for their whole life.
So important.
Yeah.
My 20-month-year-old will not sleep through the night. She puts so many full stops. Why? We have tried everything. Yeah, what happens like if you have tried sleep training, you've tried everything and they're still not sleeping? Have you ever had that?
Yes. And there could be an underlying cause. If your 20-month-old is, they're having a great nap, their wake windows are on point, the sleep environment's great, they're putting themselves to sleep without you in the room independently, there could be another issue that you're not seeing, or they could have higher sleep needs than you think, they could have lower sleep needs than you think. So I would work around the wake windows, make them slightly longer, make them slightly shorter, make the nap slightly longer, make the nap slightly shorter. Just kind of play around with that routine if you know that everything else is ticked off. So they're putting themselves to sleep, the environment's great, they're eating well, they're healthy. I would play around with that routine and see if something there isn't quite right.
Why is my 9-month-old taking 2 hours to go back to sleep when she wakes during the night?
Oh, that's like a split night.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, it's when they have like a whole wake window in the night.
Oh,
it's really annoying.
What do you do?
It usually is routine based. Something's not quite right in the daytime.
Okay.
So I would, it's a hard one. 9 months, probably 2 naps.
Yeah.
I'd aim for 1 hour in the morning to 1 hour and 15 and 2 hours in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then I would aim for like a 3 and a half hour wake window before bed.
Yeah.
If your 9-month-old has got lower sleep needs, then you might go for a 4-hour wake window before bed.
Okay.
Wouldn't exceed the 4 hours though.
Okay.
Because even with a low sleep needs baby, I think 4 hours at 9 months before bed would be fine.
Yeah.
Play around with that, the daytime sleep.
You know when they do wake up in the night?
Yeah.
Do you at any point think you should like entertain them to try and tire them out again, or should you just be trying to get them back to sleep?
No.
If I see it on TikTok, you know, they're like, there'll be like a TikTok and he'll be like, spend the night shift with me when my baby decides to have a wake window. And they'll be like up and playing with the child in the night.
Because then that becomes a habit.
Right.
And if you're getting them up and watching YouTube in the middle of the night. Yeah, that's
what's happening. TV and like games. You're just
stimulating them. And also the blue light from the TV
yeah.
is going to make it worse. So I would do less at night. I would respond like you would at any other nighttime wake up, right? The same as if they're waking up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Respond to them as if it was 2 o'clock in the morning. If you're not going to wake up and take them downstairs to watch TV at 2 o'clock in the morning, don't do it at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
If they're having a very long wake window in the middle of the night, I think it's often routine based. So I think if you can tweak that routine and kind of adapt it to your baby sleep, it's really hard.
It's really hard.
Try not to do too much in the night. Because if you're doing too much, again, to get them back to sleep, like, you're going in at, I don't know, after the 15 minutes, you're going in, you're rocking them, then you put them back down, you go back in again in 10 minutes, and you're, like, feeding them, doesn't go back down. If you're then going back to bed, going back in and doing, bouncing them, you're doing different things at different times. It's really confusing for them. You're stimulating them.
Yeah.
So stick to one method.
Okay.
Stick to one response, basically, so that you're not confusing them. And also, if your baby has, I don't know, if they're giving them a feed at that time, and they're not going straight back to sleep, that's also a sign they don't need a feed in the night anymore. Yeah. If they're not going straight back to sleep after a feed, they don't need the feed. Because you're just interrupting their digestive system, giving them energy to wake up.
Yeah.
Because you're giving them food.
So interesting. How to get, I don't know if this is in your remit, how to get a baby to take a bottle from dad and let dad put them to bed. Do you get those kind of things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quite a lot, actually.
Okay.
I would suggest doing the bottle in the morning when they're hungriest.
Okay.
For dad. Have mum out of the room.
Yeah.
Perseverance.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really hard.
But it's true. They just have to get used to it, don't they?
The thing is just getting used to it. And it's a lot of perseverance. A lot of breastfed babies don't take a bottle. Ziggy did, though.
Yeah.
Did you introduce bottles early?
I think we were just lucky. I think after the year we had, the universe was like, we'll let you have that one.
Yeah.
But one thing, he did start to kind of, basically, quick long story short, because he was given hypoallergenic formula, which I don't know if you've ever smelt or
disgusting.
Been near,
but it's
disgusting. And he started to, like, resist to it.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, the older he was getting, I think he was like, Mom, what the F is this?
Yeah, gross.
But this was before we kind of started our own gut healing journey with Ziggy.
You made your own formula. Yeah.
And what I found out was taking him outside. And letting him, in the day, like letting him be distracted and then gently offering him the bottle, and he would kind of take it whilst looking at the trees or listening to the birds. I felt like when I was sat at home in the couch and I was tense and a bit stressed about this not working, and then that was one thing that helped. But
fine, so maybe dad could take the baby in the garden.
And you know what also we did? I don't know if this is awful, but we started putting a tiny bit of vanilla extract on the tea.
Oh, fine.
To get him to suck, because it was... That stuff is awful.
That stuff does
smell. I hate myself that we even gave it to him, but you live in your line. I don't think this is too bad. I would take this as a win, personally. How to get my baby to last till 7. He wakes up at 6:30.
Oh, perfect.
Take that as a win.
Take it. You could even, depending how they wake up, if they're happy when they're happy when they wake up at 6:30, just leave them to chill for a few minutes.
Yeah.
I'd say anything between 6 and 7 is fine. To wake up.
Me too.
If it starts with a 5, no, that's night time.
Yeah.
But if it starts with a 6 or a 7, I think that that's...
I agree. Yeah. Them 5 a.m.s are a killer.
No.
Ziggy used to do them and it killed me.
5 is
it gets
nice.
To 8 o'clock in the morning and I'd feel like it's 2 p.m.
It's lunchtime. Like
the whole day.
Yeah.
24-month-old will not be sleep trained. She just relentlessly cries and will never settle. There's something probably not right.
Yeah.
This is where I feel like in these situations, maybe people should contact you because you really need to deep dive into exactly what they're doing.
What's going on, what their routine is in the day, where we can tweak things. And possibly the method that you've been using just isn't
so
great
people,
for
like, when they come to you, give you like a case study of their days, of like information, and you like dissect it.
Yeah, so I need to kind of see what they're doing on an average day.
Like a day in the life vlog.
Yeah, I ask them to talk me through like a day in the life and how they're feeding, how they're...
Yeah.
How their day-to-day runs, basically, and then I can tweak things as we go. Often I don't need to tweak that much of their day, to be honest. Or
isn't it might have the tiniest thing to make the biggest difference?
It really can. I think a lot of my clients see that. They will tweak kind of very small things and they'll get their sleep back.
Mad.
I had a 9-month-old the other day and I was reading the routine that she sent over to me and I was like, I feel like he's having like half an hour too less sleep.
Okay.
We added half an hour into the sleep. Fixed it. He was having split nights.
Okay.
And now he's sleeping 11 and a half hours
a night. That's mad.
Because we added sleep to the day, not took it away.
Just shows. You just need a good sleep trainer, guys.
It just depends how much sleep your baby needs.
It just says here, how do I get my baby to wean off my boob at night? He's 20 months old.
Oh, fine. So it's like a feed to sleep association.
I guess so.
Again, but does she want to completely stop breastfeeding?
I assume not.
Fine. So then
just
keep the
stuff at night.
Probably. Oh yeah, fine. So keep the feed bed before bed and always do something in between, like I said earlier. So the feed is the first thing in the bedtime routine. And then I would respond in a different way at night time.
That's what I was gonna say, yeah.
Yeah. Respond in a different way at night time.
Don't give in.
No, so they're still having that feed before bed because you don't want to give up the breastfeeding. So maybe keep one before bed and one in the morning or something.
Yeah. It's so hard to like not give in though, isn't it? Like
very, especially when you're tired
and it's the middle of the night and you just want to go back to sleep. Yeah. You just do anything, won't you?
And you know that if I feed him, he'll go back to sleep straight away.
I think it's so crucial to really like get your mind in check to not give in just for a set amount of time, because that set amount of time will then heal your future 5-6 years of sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's
because you know that in that moment you can do this one thing and it's going to get them to go to sleep, but then the next night they're still going to wake up at that time for that same thing. So if you just persevere with a different response in the night, for maybe even a week, I think that will change everything.
We're all like we're not victim. What word do we use? We're all suspect to it though. Like I've been in that trap where I'll just do anything to.
Because you're tired, right? And you want to go to sleep. So tired. Yeah, I completely understand why everyone does it.
So that's the end of the Q&A. What I would say is that if you've been listening to that and you've been able to take snippets from different questions or different cases that we've been talking about, Victoria's Insta and details will be at the bottom. And I hope I can say, please just reach out. Because she does need kind of like the whole picture to really understand. As she just said, she changed 30 minutes of one baby's routine and it fixed everything. I think it's so individualistic and particular. It's so hard to answer when you don't really know like the full picture. But I think it's so interesting. Thank you for coming. It's no so problems. Informative. And as I say, it's such an emotive topic for women and moms and dads who may be struggling and will do anything to make it work, because you do get to a point where the adrenaline runs out and
it does.
The hormone runs out why do we keep talking about this hormone? What hormone is it that keeps you in that fight mode where you just
it's adrenaline.
Going and
you will keep
a
going.
Superwoman, it runs out at some point and you're just like, oh my god, I just want my sleep back.
Yeah.
And when they do sleep, it's like the most life-changing, like, best thing in the world.
Yeah, especially if you've not had it for so long.
So long.
And then you get your sleep back. And you kind of feel like you again.
Yeah.
After you give birth and you don't really feel like you, and then you're sleep deprived, and then
after that, yeah.
Then you can feel a bit more restored.
Oh, no, what I would say is, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know how they talk about, like, the newborn trenches?
Yeah.
Are they, like, they're the newborn trenches for a reason, right? Because on that such early age, when your baby's, like, 2 weeks old, 3 weeks old, 4 weeks old, they're not meant to have it all together. Like,
no. You're no meant one, to be No bit, one's got it. Although that lady in the Q&A, she sounded like she really had it together, yeah.
But it's normal to not have it together, and it's normal to be in the trenches, and it's normal to be a bit kind of like all over the place. And would you say from like the 3-month mark is where things should start to be
You
playing?
Might start to feel a bit better like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Once you kind of get into a bit of a rhythm with your baby
is starting to get into a rhythm of it.
Yeah.
Because they need to learn as well, right? They've been in a cushioned sack for 9-10 months. They've got to figure it out with you. So just take a deep breath. Probably
in the early days, that's why they just love to contact nap on you, which is totally fine.
So normal.
To be honest, I don't mind a contact nap for any age, if I'm honest with you. I think that it's even healthy. At 6 months, I would still always do when I do plans for people, if they've got a 3 nap day at 6 months, I'd always keep one as a contact nap.
Okay.
Because I quite like it. Because then also if you're out and about and you need to get them to sleep,
yeah,
you know you can still rock them to sleep and they can have a contact nap.
Yeah. Or if they're in the carrier and close to you.
Carrier naps are great.
Yeah.
You can go out and get your steps in, you can get some fresh air. Until your
back is breaking. I don't know about anyone else. Oh, I don't know if it's the carrier I had, but bloody hell. My back was broken.
Get a different one for this.
Yeah, day. I think it was the wrong one. Anyways, that's off on a tangent. Thank you so much for listening if you've made it this far to the end. Thank you again, Victoria, for coming. Yeah, she really is a wizard. So as I say, if you need her, you know where to find her. Please like, share, comment, subscribe, whatever you can do to support the cause. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Bye.
Bye.